Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time, the opportunity that we have to open your word, to open our hearts to you. Lord, wash us with your blood. We need your cleansing. We need your washing by your word, Lord. It's only your word that is able to do that to our hearts, to wash us and to cleanse us. Nothing else, Lord. Come and fill us. We get so full with so much stuff, even in this season, that we need your word. And Lord, that it would come forth tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are in chapter 6 of the book of Mark. If you've been studying there, or looking in it, or keeping up with where we're at, Jesus continues to display his power here on earth as he is sent, and also discipling his men and others around him. And also he is known to the region. He is well known to the region, and the reason we say that, or we can say that, is because everybody's running to him. I need a favor. I need a miracle. I need food. I need healing. I need this and that in my life. He is very well known to meeting the needs of people and healing, casting out the demonic, the demons, and dealing with, you know, circumstances that show the power that he has. And that is one of the reasons that, yes, he came to earth to show that he is God, this deity, that he is, and claim that he is the Son of God, that he is God. And he demonstrates all those things to us and to them. And, you know, as we look here at chapter 6, it says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended. Even in the calling or the life of Jesus, or even in your calling, if you are called by the Lord, you cannot expect things to go your way. And by this, I say this, even in his own hometown, Jesus was like, at the end of this verse, was like, and they were offended at it. You know the story about him, right? You can hear it among themselves. You know the story about him. He's illegitimate. And what trips them here is the word carpenter. This guy's a carpenter. How can he have this wisdom? How can he have these things? How can he have this power? He doesn't have a degree. He's a nail. He just nails things, or he just cuts rocks. It becomes a stumbling block to them. It becomes their sin to them. It's his hometown. Well, my pastor will tell you a story. And probably every pastor can tell you. In the house, you're just a regular clown sometimes. You're just a regular guy. There's no honor. And it's not a... It's not a horrible thing to this degree. But it's like, oh, you're preaching tomorrow? Yeah, that's okay. Whatever. You go with it. Or, you know, you have an outreach. Just go with it. It's okay. You, Jesus, it's okay. It's all right. You become a very common thing. And to them, that was their stumbling block. You're so common to us. You're just the carpenter. And the proof of that was, what was the proof? He was only able to do a few things. He wasn't able to do big healings or have the big outreaches that he had in other regions. And that's what it states here. You know, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit, teaching. And he said here, he marveled at their unbelief. This carpenter, the son of Mary, it became the stumbling block to them. Jesus has the power to heal in any region who he wants or what he wants to do, what he wants to perform. But at times in our own hearts, our own lives are like, it's okay. You know, go on ahead. We're used to Jesus. We can become that familiar with him. It's like, it's all right. We know what you can do. You know, we'll just put you back in that little box and stay over there until we really need an emergency. Not downing these people, but it was like, it says he marveled at their unbelief. We can't believe because you don't have the degree. You don't have the, you know, the paperwork. And it became the whole downfall. The whole, I can't do much here. I can't. And you go into those churches that Jesus really isn't there. Because you can't bring out just the name of Jesus Christ. You bring out this poetry, you bring out this whatever. And then you want Jesus to do something. And he can't. He can't. Not that he's being mean or anything. But it's like, you know, a husband doesn't like the wife and it's like, you know, do whatever. Then guess what? Your bacon may be burned. Or you may not get anything cooked for you. He couldn't do anything for them. He became so astonished at their unbelief. I can't do anything. You know, familiarity breeds what? Contempt. You can't change it. That's how it works out. You cannot change it. And that's what I said, when you're called, make sure your calling is sure. Because guess what? You're going to come home or you're going to go to someone. Praise the Lord. 500 was saved last. So, and then if you're like, you know, you're not sure of your calling, then you're going to be like, how come you didn't show up? How come you don't see it the way I see? They're not supposed to. When God puts a call on your life, regardless of what anyone does, that's the calling that is for you. You run with it. You go with it, regardless if Jane likes you or not. You have to go. You have to go do stuff. You have to go pray. You have to go read. You have to do what God is calling you to do. In his own house. Even James, who became a follower later on, was like, you're kidding me. You? And here's like, their stumbling block was, you're a carpenter. It was so derogatory toward you. You're that? You're that kind of guy? Couldn't you? But he was speaking wisdom. You know, as James talks about, wisdom from heaven is pure. It's healing. He had wisdom above his years, above all the teachers that were there. It says here he was in the synagogue. And they're like, look at the things that he has. It says here, and what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hand? The sentence before that, where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which is given to him? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph? And we can go on there. And we see that we've just had the Christmas story. And that babe lying in the manger goes from there to now this. We don't know what you are. Who is this? He was prophesied to come those 100 years before. And they didn't know who he was. How the enemy can blind that they didn't know who the Savior was. They began calling him a prophet. They began calling him all this and that. And they're just like, you're a carpenter. We shut you out. We have to put you aside. We put you away. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about the villages and the circuit teaching. He went about teaching the things of God. Not the things of man. Not the things, he was teaching his way of doing things. Of him coming to this earth and bringing the gospel to him. Now, a very interesting thing that happens here in verse 7. As he prepares his men, his disciples, and he called the 12, no one else, and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. You see the list there, or your inventory for your trip. Many would say, well, you don't take two of this, or you do take two of this because of the culture, or because of what. And you can read the commentary on this. But can we sometimes just leave it as, that's what Jesus wanted done. This is how he wants it done. One, they had power to cast out, or power over unclean spirits. One of the things he displayed with the men of Gadara, or the man of Gadara. He commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bag, no bread, no copper in their money belt. To wear sandals, not to put on two tunics. I'd be in that line that would say, but I need my MP3 player. The sermon is on that. I need an overhead. I need a projector. I need my Gerber knife set. I need my duct tape. I need two or three snacks. I need an extra bag. And I drive my wife crazy because when I pack for my trip, it's like I unpack, I repack, I unpack, I repack. And then I get frustrated when I get over there because I have my knife on me right before I get checked to get on the plane and not put my things in the luggage. And after a while, this thing is about me. How the Lord's like, you got to go lightweight. You got to go. You're on the run. It's not like you're going to go over there and just get all cozy and just, lay down. It's, sometimes it calls you to be awake 3 days. And you go from place to place. No extra stuff. I want the comforts. Bug spray, everything, lotion to keep the sun off of me, and I need my hat and the right shoes and the right shorts. And Jesus is like, take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belt. And you know, it'd be like the disciples, it doesn't give commentary here, it doesn't give their, but Jesus, and not to put on two tunics. And it was custom for the rich, you know, they would have a double tunic. And he's like, no, no money. You can't go to the duty free on the way back. You can't do any of those things. And in verse 10, he says, also he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. There's a conversation throughout this Christmas that someone was saying, and you open your house to people and you don't. And one person was like, yeah, we open up our house to this and this and that. And then they were talking about the other one. You just sit home watching all your stuff and things like that. As ministry is being done here, they are going into places never gone before and speaking and teaching about Jesus Christ. It says, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. It's not where, well, we just showed up at Bubba's house and we know him and we're just going to camp out here with him. You're familiar with him. Here it was like, no, you are going into some place. And then all of a sudden it clicks in their head. I want to know about this Jesus. And it says, stay there till you depart from that place. Joe is going to go evangelize into Esto, Florida. And he's going to go, and that this is how, if you read the book of Acts, this is how they operate. Go to the third house on Johnson Street. Knock on the door. And if they receive you, go for it. Stay there until you're done with all your outreaches, with your VBS, everything, stay there. Whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against it. That was your traditional thing when you were not accepted. You forfeited, you did everything, everything was shut down to you right there. You dust off your feet. That's when you know your calling is sure. Oh no, they don't want me here. They don't want me to do praise and worship. They didn't receive Jesus like I knew it was going to happen. It didn't happen the way I wanted it. And here the instructions are, step by step, you're going to go in places, and these are the things you are to do when you're rejected, when you're put outside. Just customarily dust your feet and leave it alone. Not, wait, what's your problem? What is, I don't like you anymore. What did I say wrong? Of course, when we go and give the gospel out, we want to give the best opportunity. Not that we polish it and shine it, that they're like, what are you giving us? What kind of Jesus are you giving? But when you and I go and witness or talk to others or even go to someone's house, how many of you have visitors from other, I'll say it, from the Mormons or from Jehovah's Witness, and show up. You're like, oh man. And their story's like polished. It's like they break out the long coat, all the goods. You know, they break out the tower deal, and they give a presentation. Now, if we go, hey, whatever, you know, can we stay here? We're going to have something. Sunday. We haven't figured it out. Then they may have reason. I don't know what in the world you're doing. Why are you coming to my house? That's not the reason to go dust your shoes up. Now, if you go there, hey, this is who we are. This is who we represent. I am proud of my church where I go to, the pastor, and I have passion, everything for my church. Passion for Jesus Christ. And when they say no to that, dust it. But when you go over there half-hearted, there's nothing in you, then you're like, they're going to look at you, I don't want your stuff. Then that gives you no reason to dust your shoes off. Our presentation or our lifestyle should be wholehearted with passion. As we go into these houses, as we go into witness or to talk to people about Jesus Christ, there must be a passion in our heart. If not, we're going to be like, well, let's turn to Mark chapter 6. I'm exhausted. That ham last night about killed me. And you can go on, and you guys are like, go home. Okay? You're too familiar to us. You just go. We're tired. We came to hear this. We want nothing. And you guys are shaking off your shoes off. You're like, they reversed it on me. It says, and whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake it off, or shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Boom. It's in their court. Lord, I did what you commanded me to do. I didn't come here to say, hey, I want to raise money. If you give to us, you will prosper in all these things. No, it's like, we come to share the gospel. We have power over unclean spirits. When we anoint people, they will be healed. And it was a testimony against them. Again, we look back at Jesus, that he was astonished at their unbelief. Because he gave them the truth. The complete truth. But it was like, well, you don't have the degree. You're not like the guys here at the synagogue, the big priests. You're not like us. It's causing us to stumble, and we don't even know. There were Israel, poor Israel was famous for destroying their prophets. Anything that spoke against them, it was like, no. There'll be none of that. And that was their stumbling block. And it says here that assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And we know the account in Genesis of Sodom and Gomorrah, utterly destroyed. And for this, the Bible says there's one sin that cannot be forgiven, and that is pushing Jesus away. The only one. You can go kill, you can go do whatever, and it's forgiven. But this here, it's a testimony against them. It will be what? More tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. He gives that instruction. I come to church, I go to Sunday school, I go to my weekly prayer or discipleship thing or whatever, and I receive from Jesus. I'm receiving his word. Or from my own devotion time. From there, it produces this right here. To go out into the world. The words that Jesus puts in my heart to go out. And then he tells you, hey, if things go down the way we didn't think they were going to go, this is how you deal with it. And this is how he taught these men. Never had any idea those in the synagogue, I can guarantee you, would not hold, go out there and hold outreach. They got to come to me. You got to come to me. When Jesus in other accounts says, hey, go out in the highways and the byways and tell them about me. Tell them of the great things that I have done and why I have come to this earth for. You and I know the accounts in the Bible of what he does and continues to do. And there are many that just go out and just infiltrate a dark world. You go out there and just infiltrate the darkness. Giving them the gospel, be it at your work, be it at a gas station, be it whatever circumstance the Lord puts you in. Whatever you have gathered from all these places, from your devotion, from church, from, you know, wherever you have read the scripture and prayed, you give it to humanity. He says he sent them out two by two. Not too much makeup. This is how we're going. And then verse 12 says, so they went out and preached that people should repent. That's a huge statement. That people should turn from their wicked ways, their sinful ways. Repent. Even as John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, declared and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. That we would see the days like that in our lifetime. One, to hear someone still preach repentance. Not many do. It's okay. He loves you just like you are. Just continue in your ways. It's a great message. It's a deadly message. When I am happy in the condition that I am, and there's no repentance in my heart, I'm in danger. I don't want to remain there in my sinful ways. I must repent. And somebody must tell me, either someone or God's word, or my pastor, or my brother in Christ, must tell me, hey, you're going the wrong way, Phil. That needs to be taught. We want to see miracles. We want to see healings. We want to see the demons, unclean things cast out. We must also want to hear the gospel or the message of repentance. That because of Jesus Christ, there is a better way to live. There is a better way to go about life. He cast out many demons and anointed them, who were anointed with oil, many who were sick, and healed them. And that all comes with the authority that Jesus gives. It has to. Because that is what Jesus taught them. That is what Scripture teaches us. We veer or we go into something, some of the gospel. And it denies all these things. Really, you shouldn't be teaching that. You can't really believe those things can happen. You and I must bring Jesus Christ to the forefront. There are so many things that are floating around. Be it what they may, they're innocent and nice, and even during, you know, this season, you know, they're all soft and cuddly. And Jesus is like, you stay in that little manger bag. Stay hidden, stay quiet. We must bring Jesus to the front. He must be brought forward. He must be brought. Now, by saying that, it's not like I grab my neighbor and, you know, he is Jehovah Witness, and I can't go and grab him by the neck and you must receive Jesus today. Throw that watchtower down. No. It must be in compassion, in truthful, and in love. Or to whomever comes to your path. Whoever comes into your life. They listen. This is who Jesus is about. This is what we talk about. And this is what he's discipling his men in. Now you go do what I've been doing. And this is how you go. And this is what will happen. And this is what might happen. If they don't receive you, shake your feet off. But you go and cast out demons. You go and heal the sick. You go and teach the message of repentance. We're not here to do anything else. If we peddle another gospel, if we're not peddling, if we're not teaching repentance, what are we teaching? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that word perish, I don't want to rot. You look at that in a produce section. You will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. You read your Bible. Read the book of John. And I guarantee you, next time you see a sinner, you will just say, hey, for God so loved the world. John starts, behold the Lamb of God. What do you talk about, Lamb of God? Was he a four-footed guy standing in front of him? No. The gospel is that the lambs are sacrificed for the sins of the world. And here stands the Lamb of God who will be sacrificed. And this is what these men were going at. This is God that we're talking about. When you go out, when you go to your neighbor and says, this is where I attend. This is where Jesus is brought to the forefront and we talk about Jesus right here. We repent, we serve him, we worship him, we praise him. And the list goes on. And this is what he taught his men to do. It was a good thing. Because to this day, this is accomplished in humanity today. There's those that say, hey, I'm going out there, and this is what we're going to do in Jesus' name. Not everyone is called to be evangelists. Everyone's called to be a disciple. And even Paul told Timothy, hey, listen, at times you must do the work of an evangelist. There's no getting out of it. And he sent his men out. There's an account also that says they came back high-fiving each other. They're like, oh, we did. We cast. Did you see that, dude? And he's like, and I saw Satan come down or was cast down. And he says, Don't brag about what you did. But you better be concerned that your name is written down in the book of life. We can get caught in the churchy opportunity and forget the Savior. You can be sent out, oh, man, I'm teaching, I'm doing praise and worship, I'm doing the kids ministry, and this and this and that. And it's like, remind yourself who it's about. He doesn't mind it. We're like, man, we're excited about doing work for you. We give praise to what you're doing. I'm going to read the following account because of time constraint and just speak a little bit of it. Because I don't think I'll get to where I wanted to get to. You talk about things not going the way. You know, this is the forerunner of Christ that, you know, the following talks about. Now, King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. And therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it's Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead, for Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What happened to John will sometimes happen to you. It may not be a physical death. You may be ostracized from a circumstance, from friendship. And John was like, hey, that's not right. The antennas must have gone up in him, and he's like, his heart's like, this is not right. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You know, we transition from here to where they're healing the sick and now to being brought up to John the Baptist. Another place where it's like, you're the forerunner of Jesus. I'm a soldier of Christ. I am for Jesus. And then all of a sudden, an issue may arise in your circumstance, at work, at school, or whatever it may be. And here you are, not a loudmouth, mean Christian. Well, you shouldn't marry your wife. No, it's like, hey, that's not right. And many other believers on around you may say, wait a minute. And they soften the blow. Well, Jesus didn't really say that. Yes, he did. Let me encourage you. You stand up for Jesus Christ. You may be beheaded. You may be ridiculed. You may be whatever. And the example is here. Why are you fooling around with it? You can't. And what happened? This great man of God, one of the greatest men ever to walk the earth, his head is taken out on a platter. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. Don't go there sometimes, because you're going to pay a price. And here it's like, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him glad. The sad part of this, the king was like, this is the man. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. What had happened to this man's heart that came in through his eyes? Whatever you want, I'll do it. And he said he also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. But she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in the tomb. The price that was paid by John for what he said. Imagine the disciples going and getting a headless body. I don't want to end in this note. You guys have many paraphernalia here talking about those in Iran, those in the Sudan, those in all these countries, those that preach Jesus Christ in a Muslim country. Will you be beheaded? More than likely, yes. It's because you spoke the truth. I don't know what the Lord is calling me to do. We want glamour. Oh, I want to come back from Peru telling you, oh man, it was an awesome church plant. I'll go there and get whatever. You know, take 30 pills to be able to come back in the country. Where actual demons attack you. You never know. Jesus is like, I'm discipling you guys, and he's throwing them. I send you out there among the wolves. Those especially of the synagogue, those that were, you know, of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, were the biggest stumbling block, were the biggest enemy. And here royalty takes out the head of the forerunner of Jesus Christ, preaching repentance. Well, I'm going to go do this for Jesus, and I don't know how it began with John. Well, I'm going to go do this. You will get in circumstances and conversations that it's like, I cannot back out of this. And God's not leaving me an exit. I must say what I need to say. I must preach. I must teach what he has put in my heart to do. I can't back out of it. And John's standing there. Hey, you can't marry. You can't be with her. He's like, oh, whatever. But she was like, you're dead. And John must have been like, oh. I see this coming. There'll be circumstances you and I walk into. I hope they're not, well, I don't know. I was going to say, I hope they're not deadly, but whatever the Lord desires and wants to do, he will do. But I will lose my status. I'll be like the carpenter. Here comes the carpenter. Give him the lousy oranges. Give him the burnt bread. He has no membership in our synagogue. Send him away. Him and his men. But he spoke with great authority and wisdom that was beyond those that were taught in the synagogue. What wisdom he had. What knowledge he had from heaven, from his Father. I do nothing outside of what my Father has taught me and showed me to give to you. And this is how he discipled his men. And here he is exclusive. He called his 12 to him, to himself. This is how it's going to go down, man. Here's the key to the kingdom. And I've been taught and I've heard, here's the keys to the kingdom. It's like, here, my daughter, here's the keys to the car. You wrapped her around that tree, you're done. He's back. Give him back. What? You couldn't cast that demon out? What's wrong with you? Give him. Come on back. No, once the key is given. Go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Go and teach God's word. Go into children's church and do what He's commanded you to do. Go play the guitar. Go sing like a bird. Go do what He calls you to do. Will there be conflict? Will there be strife? Will there be peace at times? Absolutely. He is calling us. He called His men Him to Himself. And Christ calls us to Him. It says He gave them the power to do these things. I need that. I need His power. I need His strength. We had talked to a young lady about the mission field. And I told her, I can't be the judge of when you need to go. Or when you should go. That's up to the Lord. When are you ready for children's church? When are you ready for whatever the Lord calls you to do? That's between you and Him. Yes, take wise counsel. When He calls you, you have His word and instruction. But they didn't like me in Dothan. They talked bad about me. They didn't like me in Chipley. They didn't like me in Graceville or whatever it may be. Or you said something to the mayor. Guess what? You're not getting your permit. He equips His men for every circumstance that comes against them. And here John is taken out. What a life. Was it wasted? No. This is one of the greatest lessons for us. That a dear saint went down this way. I stood for Jesus. He could tell you if we're in heaven. I stood for what is right. I stood for His righteousness. I stood for what He wrote in His word. He'll tell you, I stood for that. Let's pray, and the worship team would come up here. Ask God to give us strength. You know, your pastor enjoys, I would say, discipling people. As we break the word week in and week out here, that our hearts grasp what God is trying to fill us up with His word, with His instruction, with His peace, to accomplish His doing here in this city and wherever else the Lord may send you or whoever you support. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And that must be ours as well. We must be about our Father's business. Heavenly Father, we pray to You that this word, Lord, encourage our hearts. Give us the words. Give us the opportunity to draw people to You through Your Spirit. We would let our light so shine before men. They would see our works and they would worship our Heavenly Father. Thank You, Lord, for being good. In Jesus' name, amen.